move along in our one-year discipleship booklet. If you do not have the book and you would like one, by all means, we can get those to you. And so this is the one-year discipleship course, 52 lessons in Christian living by Dr. David Cloud. And so just some organized Bible teaching to help us practically in our lives. And as always, we want to test everything by the Word of God. Amen. And that is, of course, what we want to do this morning as well. But let me first start off with a little story, maybe a bit of a corny illustration that I heard or read, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Apparently, a few years ago, there was this Gatorade commercial where that had these famous athletes featured, and they would always ask, "Is it in you?" You know. And what they were talking about, of course, was Gatorade, right? And Gatorade made them to be great, great athletes. And so they would, you know, be sweating while they were performing, and they would be sweating Gatorade, right? Now, the idea is something that we would similarly find in the Scripture as well, where we see that in the life of a Christian, of the life of a new believer, God does an internal change in our hearts day by day throughout all the rest of our lives as a Christian. And as we put our trust, our faith in Him, He changes us from the inside out. And that inward change will eventually naturally manifest itself and flesh itself out in godly actions, in godly changes in our life, and those actions will naturally pour out of a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is what we're looking at when we go through the different steps of growth. And of course, we've looked at a whole lot of basics already. So if you're missing some of that context, I encourage you to go back and look at those lessons. And this morning, I want to look at some tests in regards to our entertainment, some biblical tests in regards to our entertainment. First, we want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Are y'all comfortable and warm this morning? It's almost a bit too warm, amen? Well, rather hot than cold, isn't it, amen? Brother John, could I ask you to turn that heater thermostat off there on the wall, please? Thank you, brother. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 17. Let me get there myself. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, I ask that you would, Lord, take myself aside now. Lord, we pray you would completely take control of our thoughts and our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that we would step aside. And Lord, you would cleanse us of any sin or anything that would displease you in our lives. And Father, that your Holy Spirit would have full control, full reign in us, and Lord, that He could truly change our minds and change our lives this morning. Lord, I pray it help us to think the way you want us to think this morning. Would you empower your word this morning into our hearts and minds? Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me emphasize this last phrase here. God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know, contrary to popular opinion in regards to Christianity, God is not the fun break up in heaven who's just looking to, you know, ruin your life as much as possible and give you a whole list of don'ts, and who's trying to make your life as boring and uninteresting as possible. Quite the opposite. Every good gift that we have comes what? From the Father up above. Amen. Everything that we do enjoy in life, everything that is good, and it is profitable for us comes actually from God. So praise the Lord for that. But at the same time, we also see that, and I think that's especially important for parents, that we all need to learn principles of godly wisdom. And it is parents particularly that need to teach their young people that godly wisdom and how to protect themselves in regards to their entertainment choices. Okay, let's be honest with us. Our flesh is pretty stupid, if that's all right to use that word. By default, and you know, I think especially when we don't have all that experience, when we haven't been taught better yet, at least that's what it's been for me, we tend to rather do the wrong choice, amen, in our flesh. And so we need to learn godly wisdom from the Word of God. And Ecclesiastes chapter 11 encourages us in regards to that. And as I mentioned in this context, particular the young person here, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." God wants us to be able to enjoy life, especially when we can. Amen. When we have the opportunity and we have the time, when we have the health to be able to enjoy the wonderful things God gives us in our life, and even the freedom activities that we're blessed to enjoy. But notice how the verse continues. "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." As we enjoy God's blessings in our life, as we consider the different entertainment choices that we may choose, let's remember that we are, at the end of the day, still responsible to our Maker. Amen? And so therefore, let's ask God to give us true wisdom to test our choices according to the principles of the Word of God. Amen? And because the fact of the matter is, just as there are many enjoyable and wonderful things that God has given to us, we still live in a fallen creation, though. Amen? We still live in the presence of sin, and there's many spiritual dangers. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 warns us. There are many activities that may not even be themselves contrary to the Bible directly, but they're nevertheless not exactly profitable for us neither. They don't exactly help us to be more godly neither. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Let's turn there maybe. Who would like to read that for us this morning out of the New Testament? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. The Corinthians definitely lived in a society and in a place that was very pleasure-oriented, just like you and I maybe today live here in Victoria. Yes, Brother Shields, thank you.
All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Thank you. So basically what he's saying here, if I may give this with my own words, he's saying there's a lot of things that may be permitted to me, but the question is, are they profitable though? Are they really something that would be wise or helpful for a Christian to be engaged in at that time? And so once again, when we ask ourselves, Lord, what do you want me to do in the different decisions in life? It's not just about a list of do's and don'ts that we ought to be looking for. We see how God teaches us to be careful, to be wise according to the Word of God, even in all the practical choices that we make. But one thing that I would want to encourage is that we search for understanding. That we're, especially, let's say, the parents to the children would be able to explain, okay, why can't you go to the bar with your friends? Why is it not wise for you to watch this? Or why is that dangerous and it's not good for you to do this? Or why do we want you to wait to be involved in this or in that in your life? I think people, especially young people, have a right to know why. And as Bible believers, we ought to be able to explain why. Because there's a lot of power in understanding, according to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Amen? Understanding is to know why. All right? Knowledge is knowing what to do. Wisdom is knowing how to do it. And understanding is knowing why to do it. Amen? Happy is the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 4, verse 1. "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and intend to know understanding." Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. We read there, Proverbs 2, 11, "Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." What does this mean? I want to break this down a little bit. Discretion is being prudent. It's that knowledge that enables one to critically determine what is right or wrong. It's that caution or self-control, and it's also being defined as separation. Interesting to know. And so it says, "Discretion shall preserve thee," and it goes on to say, "Understanding shall keep thee." The word "keep" there means to prevent you from falling into danger, to enable you to keep going, to protect you. Amen? And so it's important to know why. So then let's take the scripture and look at some principles in regards to how we can test our different forms of entertainment. What are some forms of entertainment that one may be engaged in? What are some things people do for fun? Yes. Okay, hockey, there you go. What else?
Baseball,
sure. So many sports, amen. What else? Video games, yeah.
Shuffleboard,
there we go. Why not, right? Yeah. What's this? Sorry?
Breathing?
Oh, reading, sorry. Reading. Yes, that's a very, very good pastime, amen. We're all breathing, I hope, amen. All right. If you do breathing for fun, you'll have a great life. Amen. What else? What are some things you do for entertainment? Concerts. That's true. Reading the Bible is a good thing to do. Absolutely. There's so many things people do, right? I mean, people watch movies or YouTube or Netflix or whatever. Don't watch Disney, all right? That's utterly wicked. people entertain themselves with the news or on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, you name it, right? People do different hobbies for pastime, right? Whether it be sports that you mentioned, whether it be golfing, that's not sport, whether it be fishing, amen, whatever it may be. People go camping, right? Video games were mentioned, or, you know, playing games on computers and PlayStations, whatever it may be, on your cell phones. So many things we can use to a pastime or that people spend their lives with and they enjoy, or at least they think they enjoy. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, we have a very practical standard for all of these choices that we make in life. It says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." To prove means to test. Prove all things. Check it out, amen? See if it passes. Prove all things, notice, and then only hold on to, only keep that which is good. That what's to hold fast means. So I want to give you a few practical principles that I hope will help us determine more in our lives. Is this something that God would want me to be engaged in, or rather not? Amen? And we're going to start off a little bit more general, of course. The first question I need to ask myself is, can you do this to the glory of God? Can you do this to the glory of God? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, even the fun things, whatsoever you do to all, to the glory of God. That verse is not just in the context of in church or something. No, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, ask yourself, how does this affect my Christian testimony? Will this make me look Christ-like or rather world-like? Amen. How does this affect my ability to share the gospel? How does this make Jesus Christ look like? Is this according to God's will for my life? Here's another question that will really determine whether something is for the glory of God or not. Will this bring me closer to God or rather further from Him? Will this bring me closer to God or rather further from Him? Those are all parameters that will help me determine whether something is for the glory of God or rather not. Once again, whether it's the things that I watch online or the games I'm engaged in, the sport activities, whatever it may be. You know, once again, I don't know. Let's pick something random. Let's say swimming. All right, a lot of people enjoy swimming. It's healthy for your body, right? Now, swimming can be something that is good for me as a Christian, or it can be something that is bad for me as a Christian. The question is, in the setting that I'm in, can I do this to the glory of God? Let's say I'm going swimming at a place where there's a lot of half-naked people that affect my eyesight, that affect the purity of my mind, and that cause me to sin or to struggle in my walk with the Lord. Well, then that should not be an activity that I can be engaged in for the glory of God. Now, let's say I'm, you know, able to swim at a place where that is not the situation, and find one of these beautiful lakes around here, whatever it may be. I'm just throwing out random examples, okay? Hey, swimming is wonderful, praise the Lord, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, this was His desire. In John chapter 8, verse 29, He says, "For I do always those things that please Him," talking about His Father in heaven. So then you ask myself, is this something that would please my Father in heaven? Amen? Second principle, is it of the world? Is it of the world? You say, what in the world do you mean? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. We've studied these verses already in quite a bit of detail, so we won't go into everything that we see here. But it's very important to be reminded. 1 John chapter 2. Who would like to read verses 15 to 17, please? 1 John, so that's the letter of John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17.
Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
And verse 17 as well, please.
And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Thank you. So we've already defined those three things, those three lusts there, and talked about that in quite a bit of detail. But I need to ask myself, is this of this world, or is this rather something that will help me in the world to come? Amen. The next principle, does it involve looking at wicked things? Does it involve looking at wicked things? Folks, we really do live in a wicked world. Psalm 101, verse 3, the psalmist writes here, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Notice he realizes that these things stick, amen, in the mind. It shall not cleave to me. Job said in Job 31, verse 1, in regards to sexually wicked things, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? He made a covenant with his eyes, so to speak. You know what? I'm not going to look at those things. That is not good for me. Well, why should I even go down there? Amen. And look at these things. And it'll cause me to struggle with sin. Folks, why is this so important and what we are looking at? Well, the world sure thinks it's important. They spend billions of dollars to get you to look. Amen. To get your attention, whether it be in the advertising industry, whether it be online. Why? Well, because whatever goes through our eyesight will affect our heart. Whatever has my attention will also end up having my affection and will manipulate and affect me. Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51, about the daughters of his city that were in sorrow and in grief over the destruction of Jerusalem. He says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of mine city." Lamentations 3, 51. And so we want to ask ourselves, you know what, does this involve me looking at things that God would call wicked or sinful that wouldn't be good for me? Why is this so important? I think we see one example in Isaiah 43, verse 24. We can't go into the whole context there because there's so much to study out there. But I'll just read it for you real quick, Isaiah 43, 24. "Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." Think about this. As a New Testament Christian, we have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. It can never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? He can never leave us nor forsake us. Excuse me. And so the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is always with us, even while we're sinning, and even while we're engaged in activities that are not good for us, that God warns us about, or we're going to places that lead us to sin, or we're looking at things that tempt us to lust or to desire what we shouldn't desire. And so we're taking God's presence, so to speak, with us to that. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, right? The little children's song goes. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for your Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. By the way, the same thing is true for our ears as well, amen? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Hey, don't fool yourself into thinking that the music that you listen to doesn't have an impact on you. The world knows that, amen? They do that on purpose. In fact, when I was working in the retail industry, they very clearly taught us, and I observed it, you know, being hours and hours in that environment. In the early mornings, you know, on a weekday, they would play slower music so that people would feel more relaxed and linger more in the aisles and hopefully buy more. But on a Friday or a Saturday, when the store was cram-packed, they would play the fast-paced music to get people to move along and get them through there. Amen? Because what? They know how music affects us. And so be careful, little ears, what you hear. Amen? Talking about our entertainment choices. Especially if it's movies, hearing and listening always goes hand in hand. Amen? And so we have two ways the world could influence us towards sin, and so we better be on guard. We better be careful. Hey, this is something that God would want to watch together with me, because the Holy Spirit is right there with me. Amen. That's convicting. Next question. Next principle. Does it further the gospel of Jesus Christ? Does it help the cause of Christ on this earth? This is a pretty important, pretty broad principle, and we don't have the time to go into all of that. But let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10, 32. "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Paul says, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That they may be saved. Now, the Bible makes it very clear we should not be men pleasers. Amen. The fear of man is a snare. Now, in fact, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, for if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But what this is referring to here is that he is willing to approach people wherever they're at, and he's willing in everything he does to be a testimony for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20, he says, unto the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. You know, there in verse 22, he goes on to say, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. Amen? So when I choose my free time activities, can I say, well, is this hindering the gospel's sake? Or maybe rather helping? Once again, that doesn't mean that we can never relax, we can never have leisure and fun activities or hobbies. Not at all. But at the same time, we ought to always keep those principles in mind. Because depending on the person, different things can stumble or hinder different people. For example, there's nothing inherently wrong with working night shift. I had to do that for quite a while. But for me, it became a hindrance in my walk with the Lord. It became a real struggle. And especially because on the weekends, then when I was trying to get up in the morning while I was off work and make it for church, I mean, I literally had almost no clue that I was even in church because it was my body was so on a different schedule, amen? And so, you know, at some point, this is not an entertainment choice, so different context, but at some point I said, you know, I believe God wants me to find a job where I get a different shift because there's nothing inherently with working the evening shift. I was working. The job was, I wasn't doing anything wicked at the job, but it became a weight, a hindrance to my spiritual life, amen? And so I had to make a choice. What was more important to me? I took a pay cut, but guess what? That was worth it, amen? The next principle we want to look at is, does it cause others to stumble? Does it cause others to stumble? Romans chapter 14, in verse 13, we read, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Verse 15 in Romans 14 goes on to say, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroying on him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Now he's not talking about veganism here, right? The context is flesh offered to idols, meat offered to idols, but folks, the fact of the matter is, for this principle alone, I mean, if you would ignore the hundreds of Bible verses that clearly warn a Christian to not ever touch liquor, we're not even supposed to look at it, amen, to get the desire after it. If you would ignore all of those verses and just look at this principle in Romans 14, just even for that principle alone, I shouldn't be touching liquor, or being involved at a place where that is the primary activity. Why? Well, because even here in our church, we very well might have somebody, you know, who maybe years ago, God brought him into victory from an alcohol addiction or something like that. So now I hang out with them, or now they see me drinking, and they're like, oh, must be okay for me too. Or they get tempted through my drink, and guess what? They fall back. God forbid, amen? And so, folks, I trust that you take these principles prayerfully and you apply them to whatever situation you have in your entertainment choices, all right? I'm just trying to give you a little bit examples. Next question, does it edify myself in Christ? Does it edify others around me and encourage them to grow spiritually? Romans 14, since we're there, in verse 19 we read, Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. Edify means to build up, to encourage spiritually. Amen? Not rather discourage. Like, oh, just don't be such a stick in the mud. You know, it's okay for this really godly brother and, you know, this mature Christian. So it must be okay for you and me too. Let's just do it together. Well, no. Let's rather encourage each other not to do it, amen? and edify one another. Hey, you don't need to go down there. You don't need to watch that. You don't have to be involved in everything. As a Christian, matter of fact, we're able to find much greater joy and much greater fulfillment and satisfaction by staying away from every pleasure and every, well, the King James Bible calls it reveling in excess of the world than trying to feel like we miss out and, you know, we can. So let's rather encourage one another. Hey, you don't need that. That's not good for you. Let me tell you that I still carry the scars of that. Let's not do this. Let's rather do something real fun together. Amen? The next thing. This is a powerful principle that will help us in a lot of decisions. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Who'd like to read that for us, please? So the question there is, does it cause me to think on wholesome things? Does it cause me to think on wholesome things? What's Philippians 4, 8? Maybe you can quote it, amen? Sure, thank you, Brother Jeff.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on this thing.
Thank you. Now, folks, that is why I do believe for some Christians it can be a sin to be on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok or whatever. Or read the news 24/7 because it makes you angry, makes you frustrated, makes you depressed. God doesn't want you to be depressed. Now, every person that I've ever met, including every Christian, can struggle with depression at times. Amen. You see David, you see Elijah, so many others struggle with that. But the fact of the matter is, folks, we ought not be running towards the things that drag us further down. Amen. Into lies, into despair, into doubting the plan of God in this world. No, we rather ought to be engaged in things that help us think godly things, that help us think wholesome things, everything that is pure, everything that is right. And so you say, oh, Pastor, is me being on Facebook a sin? Well, I don't know, but it certainly could be. It certainly could be. Or even the news, whatever it may be. You know, if it makes you angry, if it causes you to lust, whatever it may be, if it causes you to not think upon wholesome things, it doesn't mean it always has to be only theologically deep or something, you know. But at the same time, you know, well, for example, you know, I picked on golfing already. Let's say golfing. I don't think it'd be very wholesome for me to go golfing. Because I'm terrible at it, I'd probably feel embarrassed, and I'd probably get very mad and break a club or something, you know, which isn't very godly. Just making up a random example, all right? Think on these things that are wholesome, that are godly, all right? We're out of time, but I want to close with one more. Can I do this with thanksgiving to God in my heart? Ask yourself, okay, as I'm going out about to have fun, or whatever you're about to do. Can I do this thanking God? Can I thank God for this? If you can't, you probably shouldn't do it. That probably isn't good for you. It's probably not a godly entertainment choice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He couldn't get any more clear, amen? In everything, not just when we sing, not just in church, in everything. In case we miss it, Ephesians 5:20 repeats it and says, giving thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So sometimes I need to do what Brother Terry Coomer so fittingly encourages every Christian to do. I need to stop. I need to think about this. I need to turn it over to God. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? And in case of doubt, immediately start asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to thank you for right now? Lord, what do you want me to praise you for? Amen. Folks, I find so many times as soon as I get engaged in praising and thanking God, the temptation to do wrong, the temptation to seek the pleasures of sin for a season dissipates. As the old song says, and the things of this world grow so strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. And so there's some more principles yet that we may get to, Lord willing, at some other time. But I hope some of these already can help us in making wise choices, folks. Once again, it's not about, you know, having as miserable life as possible. It's about being safe. It's about being wise and doing what pleases God. Amen. Father, we ask you, please bless us, Lord, as we go into our morning service. Help us, Lord, to make wise choices. Help us, Lord, to be entertained, to, Lord, enjoy the things that you want us to enjoy in this life. Because truly, you're good to us, Lord. Help us to live godly. We pray this in Jesus' name.